turn in the back of the Psalter hymnal to page 57. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 45, will consider question answer 116 this evening. Just a reminder, the Catechism is not the Word of God, but we believe it's a faithful summary of the teaching of the Word of God. Especially as we go through, we've finished up the Ten Commandments, now we go into the Lord's Prayer. What a wonderful way of our forefathers in the faith handing down to us faithful instruction. And I trust we'll see how scriptural this teaching is. Question answer 116. Again, we'll do this responsively. Why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God gives His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking Him for them. Let us take our Bibles. I'll turn first to the Gospel account of Matthew, chapter 7, beginning at verse 7. It's found on page 1032 in the Pew Bibles. Matthew 7. People of God, hear now the very words of God. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Let us turn over next to the Epistle to the Romans, Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28, it's found on page 1201, Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. And let us turn to Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. It's found on page 1250. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Far the reading of God's holy word. Congregation, when a tragedy strikes, think back even last year, the flooding that happened in Midland County. What happened? People pray, don't they? What expressions of care are often given? We're praying for you. It's one of the best things we can hear when we're going through a hard time, a challenging time. I'm praying for you. Prayer is something we hear of, especially at those times, even in our secular culture. Mankind has always recognized that, the necessity of prayer. As I proclaim to you this evening, we need to pray. We need to pray. First, we consider our obvious need. Our obvious need. Now, we come to the last portion of the catechism, the one that camps on, teaches about, exposits, explains, applies the prayer that the Lord Jesus taught us. As we look back on the principal truths of the Christian faith that we've considered up to this point, we saw first how great our sin and misery are. Second, we saw the wonderful, gracious salvation God has accomplished through the death and resurrection of Jesus, which He's now applying to us by the work of His Spirit. Third, we're considering in the life of grateful service we are to render to the Lord, which includes striving to live according to all God's law, as well as praying to Him. So with this in mind, this outline of sin, salvation, service, guilt, grace, gratitude, we can see why we need to pray. Why prayer is an obvious need, an obvious need. We are in sin and misery. That's our problem. Salvation is not in us. Salvation is in Christ alone, outside of us. There's no hope within us, only in Jesus. And how do we lay hold of Him? Not by our works, not by our effort. Through faith. What does He say in Romans? Call on the name of the Lord. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Lord, save me. That's a prayer right there. Prayer is calling on the Lord. We have an obvious need for prayer. Prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us, because in part, it's crying out for mercy, forgiveness, crying out to God to apply all that Christ has done for us and our salvation, apply it to us in order to save us, to live as saved persons, to live out, to live within that salvation. As we read from Matthew 7, ask, it will be given you. Seek, you will find. Knock, the door will be opened. Prayer is, as we saw through our series, through the Sermon on the Mount, prayer is asking, seeking, knocking. We need to pray. God has opened our eyes, hasn't He? He's convicted us that we realize some of our sin and misery. We realize God's wrath is upon us because of our sin. We realize, applying what Jesus said further in Matthew 7, we realize we're hungry spiritually. We need good gifts from the Lord. The chief gift, righteousness, eternal life, to be changed. And that's not only for the one who is outside of Christ, or the one even at the beginning of their Christian walk. It's for us our entire Christian life, until we pass from this earthly life. As we mature in the Christian faith, we realize even more our need. We are in need. It becomes even more obvious. More obvious the more we mature. Therefore, congregation, pray. Pray for the Lord's blessing. Think again of who God is and of our need. Children, who is it who created us? Who is it who governs all things? Well, you know, it's God. That's obvious. We need Him to sustain us in this life, to protect us. That's obvious. But again, who has lived for us, died for us, been raised for our justification? Who has ascended into heaven, reigns at God's right hand? Who will one day return to judge the living and the dead? Again, children, you know, it's Jesus. If I asked you all to say at one time, who is it? Everyone would say Jesus. Our need is obvious for His righteousness, for life. As we consider in the Lord's Supper, for Him to nourish us unto life eternal. Reminded of that every time we partake of the Lord's Supper. We need Him to wash us with His blood and Spirit every time. Baptism reminds us of that. And who is it who changes us, who renews us, who takes the righteousness of Christ and imparts it to us so we begin to live according to God's commandments? Who is the reality of our future inheritance given to us even now as a down payment of that glorious hope? And children, you know, it's the Holy Spirit.
we have all this. We have all earthly needs, all spiritual needs. We are completely dependent upon God. We need to ask, to seek, to knock. We need to be given, as Jesus brings up, bread, fish, all good gifts. Because we have nothing in ourselves. Nothing. Isn't that what we've been taught throughout the catechism, taught throughout Scripture? And it's God who gives these things. They're a gift from God, and therefore we need to pray. We need to ask God for these good gifts. Our need is obvious. And yet, congregation, aren't we tempted to ignore the obvious? Certainly the unbelieving world around us ignores it. Unbelievers go about their work, their leisure, their happiness, their sorrow, all the time thinking in their work, or it's their work, or it's the government's handouts, or it's the forces of nature, maybe chance, maybe luck. There's no living for the unbeliever with the ever-present awareness that I depend completely on God. I depend upon someone, a person, not a bureaucracy, not a force of nature, someone who controls all things and all people. Someone to whom I can pray. Not just talk to my congressman or not just try to manipulate with the laws of physics, but pray. It's as plain as the nose on our face. And yet, children, are you aware of your nose? No. Even if you have glasses. Maybe the first time you get glasses, they're all there, but eventually you just see right through them, right? Our constant need of God. It's obvious. We forget, though, don't we? Until tragedy strikes. Maybe we lose our job. Maybe a relationship is straining to the breaking point. Maybe a heart attack. Or, like in Midland County, flooding, hurricane, earthquake, terrorist attack. Pandemic. Then perhaps we realize, you know what? I'm not in control. And people go through motions of prayer, but even that's disappearing in our society. What often do we hear? Our thoughts are with you. Or I send you good wishes. Things like that. Well, okay, it's nice you're thinking of me, but that doesn't do anything. And in our secular time, mankind is increasingly refusing to bow before God. And recognize the need. He's crying out. But he's crying out to a different God, not a government. That's not for us, beloved. God has opened our eyes. Now, certainly stresses, trials of this life, we need our God. But at every moment, for everything, we need God. We stand in constant need. It's obvious, isn't it? When we just step back, we think about it. It's obvious. We need to examine ourselves. And where you find within yourself a dullness to your need, then you're missing the obvious, and you're ignoring your need. And when you and I do that, that's sin. Not confessing our need to God, thinking we have it under control. We need to repent of that sin. That self-reliance or that reliance on something, someone else. Consider your prayers. And if you're not praying daily, young people, young adults, you're at this time now, you're transitioning from your parents praying with you, let's say at bedtime, maybe in the morning, maybe at meals, your parents have been leading you in prayer all this time, you're moving now to, you've got to do it. No one's going to be there when you're on your own. You know, saying, come on, pray. You've got to do it. You've got to take it up. Pray. If you're not praying daily, if you're not praying for everyday needs you have, then again, you're missing the obvious. Pray for them. Young people, spend time every day in prayer. Personal prayer. Yes, before, after mealtime, yes, that's good, but at other times. Put a greater priority on prayer than on checking your phone. We need to pray. We stand in constant, complete need. Again, that's obvious, isn't it? But we don't do it as we ought, do we? We need that reminder. We need to be told. We need the Lord to convict us. We need to pray. Pray. Obvious need. But also, as we move to in our second point, we have a deep need to pray. So think if a farmer is planting a field, near the end of planting, not quite there though, and he looks and there's storm clouds gathering in the west. You think he's going to say, I'm going to stop, I'm going to check the mail, I'm going to stop, I'm going to just have a little bit of coffee here, I'm just going to stop? No! He knows something's coming. He's got to keep going, right? He's got an important thing to do. But now, if that farmer is planting, maybe even near the end, and he runs out of fuel, well, then he needs to stop, right? Well, so it is with how we pray. If we think our efforts in something are so important, we can't interrupt them to pray. We can't even, as Nehemiah would do, offer up a prayer to God while we're in the midst of doing it. If we don't understand how needy we are, our deep need, our obvious need, how deep it is, for God to give us good gifts, spiritual, earthly, physical, we've got a problem there. We need to realize this deep need for God. Interrupting our effort, our work, offering up a prayer to God about the work while we're doing it. It fits with praying with a deep need. But even as we say that, prayer is not really interrupting our work. Prayer is to surround, it's to inform, to form every part of our work. It's to be how we are working. Prayer comes from realizing the deep need we have moment by moment in our working. A deep need, as the Catechism puts it, a groaning inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking Him. We read from Romans 8. The Apostle Paul wrote in verse 26 that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He searches our hearts. Some matters so important to God, the Holy Spirit Himself intercedes with groanings that are too deep for words. Think of the righteousness we need. Think of forgiveness from God. Think of the renewal by the Spirit we need. Think of God's gifts of life and health and strength, the gift of His Son Jesus, the gift of the Spirit. Those are crucial for our lives. And yet, how much do we groan inwardly for them? Are our inner groanings too deep for words? Think about that. Or do we just gloss over? Even often how we end prayer. Children, we often say, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, we shouldn't just pass over that. But even think of that, in Jesus' name. And Lord willing, we'll come to that. Deep need we have, that groaning that we present to God in Jesus' name. As we examine our hearts, what do we see? As we think about how we pray, perhaps we see many things that we do sense a deep need for God's work, but maybe other things that we don't. Consider the prayers you offer to God. Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words. Are you simply mouthing words? Are you simply using prayers that you've prayed again and again and again? Now again, children, your parents are teaching you to pray, and we've said before, that's good. But are you praying from the heart? Do that. Pray as you're taught, but pray from the heart, not just the mouth. Pre-written prayers are good to pray. Again, we've said that before. So long as they are prayed from the heart, realizing, sensing the deep need that we have. In fact, pre-written prayers, ones that we've thought about, maybe ones we've prayed before, that they're so familiar, we know them, those are beneficial because they give such wonderful expression to the deep feelings that we have. Again, pre-written prayers are not necessarily bad, and spontaneous prayers are not necessarily good. It's how we use them. Are we owning them for ourselves? Are we offering them from a deep sense of our need? So children, if your dad asks you to pray at the mealtime next time, don't just rattle off some prayer. Pause. Think, and maybe fathers, maybe you want to Remind your children of that. Pause, think. Let's pray carefully here. This groaning inwardly. Well, what if we don't groan inwardly? What if we don't share with the Spirit of God these groanings that are too deep for words? Should we not pray to God? Are we being hypocrites then for praying for things we don't feel deeply about? Well, my sense, your sense, our sense is never as deep as it should be. We all fall short there. The depth of our appreciation, of the awe that we have to God and even confessing Him and adoring Him, we never are deep enough. It's never what it should be. But still, brothers and sisters, pray. And include within your prayers the fact that, Lord, we confess we don't feel our need as we ought. We don't have this groaning as we ought. We don't have the joy, the gratitude. They aren't as deep and as full as they should be. Confess that to God. Confess, Lord, I am more often thrilled with unimportant things in life. The next episode of this TV show or something. Or even worse, confess to the Lord, Lord, I admit I'm thrilled more with sin than your good gifts, your great gifts. It's not hypocrisy for us to admit our weakness and our sin, our lack of deep feelings. That's not hypocrisy. Confess it to God. Say, Lord, would you hear my prayer anyway? And would you change me so I have a deeper sense, so I have this groaning inwardly? Help me, Lord. But there are times, aren't there, where we feel very deeply about a prayer request. Maybe we're praying earnestly for a family member. Maybe a dear friend. Maybe, let's say, there's sin in his life, in her life. Maybe there's cancer in the body. And our hearts are broken over those trials. That sin or the effects of sin, brokenness. And maybe the Lord isn't answering you as you desire. Or how or when we desire. There are parents who spend decades pleading to God for the salvation of a child, seeing him, seeing her descend into sin, experiencing the ravages of sin, and you pour out your heart to the Lord morning and night, day after day after day, and you don't see any change. How can you deal with that heartache? Does having these deep needs, does it only set us up for disappointment? Have you ever not prayed something because you say, what if he doesn't answer it? Well, I just give up hope. It's a real experience in people's lives. Maybe you don't have a child or a grandchild strained, but look around at our society, all the sin in the world. Think of abortion being legal. Almost 50 years now. The saints have been praying and praying and praying. Look at the state of the church in our world. Look at the sin you struggle with day in and day out. How can we deal with having some of our prayers for these deep needs not answered as we hope day after day? Trust God. Don't be discouraged by the struggles in life. Even when you see sin within yourself and others, when sin breaks apart people's lives, those whom you love, yes, the sin is bad, the breakdown is bad, it touches us in our hearts, but God is in control. You know what we read just after this part about praying? And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. God is sovereign. And through Jesus, He has become your heavenly Father. He uses even our sins, the sins of family members, sins of whole countries, to His glory. Within His plan and purpose, God is the only one who can free us from sin, heal us from sin's ravages. He's the only one who will renew creation and raise our bodies. Now, we seldom see how it works out. And we don't understand. Now, while we rejoice in God's grace in Christ Jesus and the wonderful future He declares, the foretaste which we already have now in part, there are great griefs in this life. Hearts are broken. Maybe you've heard someone say, yeah, I tried, God, I tried praying. And didn't answer, I've given it up. Our hearts are
broken in this life. That's part of living within this fallen world. That's part of loving someone who is fallen, being ourselves fallen. Hold fast to God. What's the alternative? Not caring about others? Not caring about this world? Not bringing these requests to God, but bottling them up inside, maybe denying the reality of sin or of brokenness of God and His grace and His power? Those aren't the answer. We live in a broken world. And you and I are broken. And it's not going to end until Christ comes again. We have a deep need to pray. You can't ignore that. Spirit helps us in our weakness. God says that. The Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit lives within your heart. And even though your heart gets burdened with these deep needs, He is there within you. He is upholding you. He is interceding for you. That's what God says in His Word. Trust Him. He will work everything out in a way that we might not understand now, but it's amazing, it's more glorious than we can imagine. If God brought about the blessing of salvation through the greatest of all sins, the crucifixion of the Son of God, God will work out your heartache. He will work out your deep needs. Trust Him. Pray to Him. Pray from a deep need. Pray for those two who are going through those deep needs. That's a beautiful thing of being in a congregation. As we pray for one another. We ask for prayer, and we do pray. Keep praying for each other. And keep praying our whole life long. We come to that in our third point. A lifelong need. So during pivotal times, events in our life, we find we're more in prayer, aren't we, than at other times. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Jesus Himself, as the gospel accounts show to us, it seems that during more major events in His ministry, He would spend, let's say, an evening in prayer. But if those are the only times we pray, or if your daily prayer is only about 5 minutes long, then praying during a crisis a lot, well, that is a sign that something's spiritually wrong there. But it's not wrong in and of itself to spend more time when we're particularly burdened. But that being said, we need to pray our whole life long. We read in Philippians 4, verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Children, in what are we to be in prayer? In everything. Everything. Everything includes all of life. We are in need. We have anxieties that pull us our entire life long. Now maybe those who are older among us, we look back and maybe we chuckle at what made us uptight 5, 10, 30, 50 years ago. Say, why'd I ever worry about that? But at every point in our lives, aren't we tempted to be anxious about what's happening right now or might happen in the future? That's one reason why we need to be in constant, lifelong prayer. We have needs. Old, young, single, married, children in the house, or even grandchildren out of your children's house. Every stage of life. We often think of the earthly needs that occur at those life stages. But throughout our lives, we have spiritual needs. And those are the same for us, the same for every person. We need Christ's righteousness credited to us. We need to have our sins forgiven. We need the Spirit to renew our hearts and our lives. We need the Lord to sustain us in that faith and increase it. We need God's kingdom to come, His will to be done. Pray continually, asking God for these gifts, thanking Him for them. And as we do that, what do we find? Even as we read in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Many saints here, especially going through great trials, you can testify to this, can't you? It's truth of God's Word. The faithfulness of our God. Children, young people, trust in the Lord. And out of that trust, pray to Him. He's given you His Son as Savior. How will He not also, along with Jesus, give you all things? Pray to Him, and you will have that peace. Now, if you don't have a daily practice of prayer, start today and continue every day of your life. Maybe you don't know what you should pray for. Well, that's one reason why we'll be going through the Lord's Prayer, so we learn how to pray better. But begin with this realization: you're in need. You're not self-sufficient. Other humans can't give you what you really need. Your need is obvious. It ought to be felt deeply. It's lifelong. Remind yourself of these. And as your needs come to your mind, present them to the Lord. We live in a society that's pick up the phone, do this, do that, switch, switch, switch. Don't think. Don't pause. But pause. Think. Meditate. And you'll find so many things you can pray about. Set aside time each day. Maybe start by setting aside 5 minutes. Then increase that time as you grow in prayer. Pray immediately after you wake up, maybe immediately before you go to bed. If those times don't work for you because of sleepiness, begin tying your times of prayer to routines that you perform every day, so that that prayer becomes part of your routine. Not that it should become merely routine, but it's, you got to start somewhere. Routines are a great way to work godly practices. Do you brush your teeth every day? Well, if you're not praying right now, start praying when you brush your teeth or around that time. Of course, those are practical tips. It's not "thus saith the Lord" from God's word. You've got to do it that way. But what is clear from God's word is the command to pray, the need to pray. Recognize obvious needs. Sincerely pray for these deeply felt needs, and pray our whole life long. And as you do, some saints have found it useful to keep a prayer journal. To say, pray for the Lord for this, and then as the Lord answers that prayer, you either cross it off or you write how He answered it, when He did it. Now, wonderful ways you can go back, and as you pray more and more, you say, wow, God is faithful. Wow, He answered that in ways I couldn't have imagined. Or, I need to keep praying this. Watch in amazement as God blesses you and your prayers. And He might not answer your prayers as you expect or in the timing you desired, but He answers the prayers of His children. Prayers that we pour out to Him as our Heavenly Father. He loves you. He grants you eternal life in Christ. He gives you all things in this life we need to accomplish His purposes. And He gives you peace. Peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Be encouraged with that. Be motivated to that. And be in prayer. And may God receive all the praise as we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank You that You call us to pray. In a world that runs here, there, and everywhere, or deadens itself in lazy pleasures, a world that might empty its mind in a form of meditation, what a gift You've given us in prayer. Come to our Father, to reflect on our lives, to reflect on Your work, Your word, Your promises, to talk to You. Thank You for giving us Your Spirit, who lives within us, who intercedes for us. Thank You for the peace You give us, peace that passes understanding. And Lord, for those who don't pray much, stir them to it, Lord. Only You can do that. Draw them near to You, that they may cry out to You. And all of us, Lord, none of us pray as much as we should. So cause all of us to grow in that. And would You bless those prayers? In Jesus' name we pray.